Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Your future is important. Take time to plan for what can go right. Talk to a financial broker about a Zurich pension.
Now, on the programme last Friday, our reporter Barry Lenihan revealed that the leader of a restorative justice forum established by the Spiritans to engage with sex abuse survivors says he's dealing with a very high volume of inquiries. Professor Tim Chapman's comments came a month since allegations of historic child sex abuse emerged at the prestigious Blackrock College following the broadcast of an RTE radio documentary. Well, we're joined now by restorative justice facilitator Professor Tim Chapman to discuss his role, and you're very welcome, Tim, to the programme this evening. We might start with where the numbers are at this point and how many people have contacted your Restorative Justice Forum so far.
Yes, since the radio RT1 documentary, this we've received 71 inquiries. 42 have responded to our acknowledgement and are ready to make contact with us. I've met six already, and there's three in the pipeline. 19 have not responded to our initial, acknowledgement of their message. Six have just wanted their abuse to be on the record and don't want to take it any further. One person's made a query about confidentiality and is considering whether to meet us or not. One person chose counselling, and one person responded by saying she's no longer interested in doing the restorative route. So that's basically a rundown on the inquiry
so far. You're at this point. And the majority of people I know that initially contacted you were former students of Willow Park and Blackrock College. Has this expanded to other schools?
It has expanded. We've had inquiries from St. Michael's, St. Mary's and Rockwell. But the bulk are still Willow and Blackrock.
And what about the time period then that we're talking about in terms of the allegations?
They range. I mean, there's some that go back to the 60s. And the most recent one, I think, is about 2000. So a range of about 40 years. But the bulk would be in the sort of 70s, 80s, early 90s.
And I wonder, without breaching confidentiality, obviously, can you outline to us what sorts of allegations you've been hearing from those six people that you've met so far?
Well, serious sexual abuse, basically, by priests and some lay teachers. I don't really want to go into the detail of them, but they are pretty serious. Quite harrowing stories that we've heard and have, of course, as you know, we've been working for about a year with the other sort of pilot project, and we've heard similar stories from a lot of victims now.
And do any of the new allegations relate to abusers who are still alive?
I'm not sure yet, because we haven't sort of followed all of them up yet. There's certainly a lot of new names come forward that I've come across before. So I can't be sure, but I know for certain that there's one name that's come up that has been followed up by the Gardaí.
One name of somebody who is still alive?
Yes.
Okay, and is that a name that has been mentioned by more than one person?
That's it.
Sorry, Tim, I didn't hear your response there.
So, yes, this person's name has been mentioned by two victims, to my knowledge.
Okay. When you say that you haven't followed up all the contacts yet, why is that?
It's just, I mean, we knew there was going to be a large response, but it was just so quick and so many at the same time. I was working on my own. Basically I just couldn't keep pace with it. Now, in the meantime, it took us, I'd say, about 12 days to get on top of it. So everybody should have received an acknowledgement and an explanation of the project. And as I say, 42 of them have come back to us having received that. But it was just an awful lot to deal with. I now have recruited, I also had to recruit extra help. So I've now got three very experienced restorative practitioners now, whom I'm meeting tonight to allocate the other victims so that they can be seen very soon.
Okay. And do you think that is enough, or do you think you need more?
I think it'll be enough for the time being, but there's a steady, you know, it was a sort of a bit of a tsunami to start off with, and it's a sort of more of a trickle, you know, one or two every day now, whereas it was maybe, you know, getting about 10 a day for a short while. So at the moment it's manageable, but obviously if it keeps going, we may have to recruit more practice.
Because there's an active Gardaí investigation into what is going on, have you received or have you sought any advice from the Gardaí or Tusla in how to deal with new victims who are coming forward?
Well, it's very simple. If I'm informed of a perpetrator of abuse, allegedly, and then I'm given the name, and that person, there's any evidence that they're still alive, that's reported immediately to the Gardaí and TUSLA.
And is that the end of your involvement then? At that point, is that the end of your involvement?
It is for the time being. Once there's a formal legal process initiated, then the restorative justice process, in my opinion, isn't appropriate until that's been settled. It would muddy the water in terms of people's rights and, you know, the legal procedures. So we lay off as soon as somebody says, I'm going to, then we'll say, well, you know, do feel free to come back once, you know, once there's some sort of resolution to it, you may need further support or help. Yeah.
Okay, so I just want to get clear on how that works then. If somebody says to you they're going to Gardaí, then you back off. But what about your obligation to go to Gardaí if someone comes to you with an allegation of abuse against somebody who is alive?
I have to inform. Well, what I do is I inform the Spiritans, and they're under an obligation to report the matter to the Gardaí.
And why do you inform the Spiritans and not the Gardaí directly?
Just because that's been the protocol that was agreed right from the start, because the Spiritans are the sort of the legal body that is responsible and must inform the Gardaí and TUSLA if they have any knowledge of anybody connected with themselves or their schools that have been accused of an abuse of a child.
Okay.
It's just the protocol that was agreed right from the beginning.
Okay, but you don't have any personal or legal obligation as far as you're aware?
No, I think my legal obligation is to make sure it's done and to make sure that the Spiritans are informed and do carry that out. So that's
And do
my
you
legal
make
obligation.
Sure the Spiritans inform the Gardaí?
Yes, I'm in regular contact with the Spiritans to see how they're responding to you know, the various cases that I've sent to them to say that this needs Gardaí attention.
Yeah, because this is all very urgent, isn't it, Tim? You know, because a lot of these people are elderly, the people against whom these allegations are being made. And for survivors to get justice, you know, you need to be able to deal with anything that's coming to you in a very timely and quick manner. And you would have thought, inform the Gardaí without going through a number of steps, you would have thought inform the Gardaí immediately.
Well, I've only been privy to one case, and this was actually and the information came through an actual where the victims and the Spiritans present, so it was immediate to the Spiritans, and they had an obligation, having heard that information, to immediately inform the Gardaí.
Okay, and so when you say you're aware that the Spiritans are informing Gardaí, how are you aware of that?
Well, I mean, I ask them and they tell me they are. Okay. So it's based on trust. There's no sort of tangible evidence, but I take them at their integrity.
We know there's a proposal now being suggested by government about a scoping inquiry into the abuse at these schools. I wonder, do you think that your own process should be stopped while that scoping inquiry, if that scoping inquiry is set up, to make sure that there's not sort of confusion, there's not information going to two separate processes, that there's one formal process set up by government to investigate all of this?
I think they're two different things. In a public inquiry, you know, as people know, is a fairly formal affair, and it'll take quite a bit of time to report. And as you say, there's some victims who have been holding back the trauma of abuse for many years, you know, trying to control it. The publicity has brought everything to the surface, so they urgently need attention. And there's other victims that are incredibly sensitive about confidentiality. They do not want to be in the public eye. So I think we need both. The restorative process is a private confidential service. They can go at their own pace. They can make their own decisions, where public inquiry really does what it says. It brings it into the public, and a lot of victims don't want to be exposed.
Mm. It doesn't necessarily,
though, very difficult.
Does it? It doesn't have to bring it into the public. I mean, we've seen with public inquiries in the past, there can be different routes and different options set up for survivors, whereby they can disclose allegations of abuse without having their identity or any details about themselves disclosed. There's ways of keeping people's confidentiality intact while also making sure they can participate in a public inquiry.
Yeah, I think that that's absolutely right. And there's some very good models internationally of public inquiries that have adopted restorative approaches, you know, private victim-friendly meetings where victims aren't challenged or, you know, questioned by lawyers representing various bodies. So I think, yes, it is possible, but it has a public inquiry is to, you know, generate information about a public issue that, you know, the public have a right to know about. It's not necessarily about giving individual victims a voice and being able to confront the institutions that they hold responsible and, you know, and get an apology, to get compensation or get support with therapy. You know, a public inquiry doesn't have that function. It's gathering information about an issue. So I think they're two very different things.
Yeah, and I understand what you're saying. And I know that some survivors who have used the forum or the scheme that you've set up have found it very useful and suitable for their needs. But I do just wonder if you have two different tracks of a process and you're trying to uncover exactly what has happened and the scale of what has happened. And some of that is held in one area and some of it is held in another area. Do you run the risk of perhaps, for example, one person making an allegation to yourself about an abuser and another person making an allegation about the same abuser to the other inquiry and the two not speaking and things getting lost?
I'm sure that can possibly happen. I've no doubt about that. I just go back to my original point. I think they have two different functions, you know. I'm not attempting to sort of gather evidence and put it all together for public consumption. I'm just concerned about people who are suffering from an injustice and from trauma and would feel that being able to confront the people they hold responsible for allowing it to happen, they feel that that would give them some sense of justice and some sense of relief from the pain that they've been carrying for about 40 years.
Who funds your work, incidentally?
I'm an independent practitioner, but I'm paid a sort of fee per case by the Spiritans. And this was agreed between the victims group and the Spiritans.
And would you understand some survivors wondering about your independence given you're paid by the Spiritans?
Yes, I could understand if they hadn't spoken to me or experienced the process. I think they might think, oh, well, I'm in the pay of the Spiritans. I'm not employed, but I am paid a fee for what I do. But I think anybody who's experienced it would not, I don't think they would accuse me of, you know, covering up or being on the side of one person, one side rather than the other. So I think,
although you have said that your first obligation when you hear of an allegation against abuse, of abuse against a person, in which case the abuser is alive, your first obligation is to report that not to the state authorities, but to the Spiritans. So does that raise a question mark over your independence?
I don't think so, because I'm expecting them to report it because they're the responsible authority. They're the people that employed the priest or the teacher who's been accused. So I think they have a responsibility to do that rather than myself. I have to report it immediately and ensure that they do pass that on to the authorities.
Have the Spiritans completely respected your independence? Has there been any interference at all that you've been concerned about?
No, not at all. I think they have respected. I mean, as you can imagine, they were a little guarded and worried about this process because they're opening themselves up. I mean, there have been 9 meetings between victims and the provincial and principals of the schools, and they've been very powerful meetings, really harrowing. So as each victim has his own meeting, the provincial, Martin Kelly, has been to every meeting and has listened to those stories. And I have seen an opening up of compassion and concern. And I think that was reflected in his public apology. So I think they're sincere participants in this restorative process. I don't think they're using it for any sort of devious means.
All right. Well, thank you very much for joining us to talk us through what it is that you're offering people. I do appreciate your time. That's Professor Tim Chapman, who is leading that restorative justice forum that was established by the Spiritans. And if you've been affected by anything discussed in that conversation, you can check out some helplines on rte.ie/helplines.